Aloha.
Hello and welcome. We are back from the ballerlifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner, episode number 464 of the show. We greatly appreciate your patronage. We would like it if you would communicate with us. Always get good topics and good feedback from the listeners. If you would like to be one of those people, you can send us an email. mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com is the email address. Additionally, you can call us 949-464-TBLS is the telephone number where you can call. Leave us a voicemail. We would love to hear from you. Also, hold on a second. I forgot to turn on my do not disturb. Also, you can subscribe to the bonus content. Click the link in the show notes. You get all the extra topics we do here every week because we do a whole show, which is free. And if that's enough for you, that's enough. But if it's worth $5 a month and or $50 a year, soon to be 55, you can hear all the extra stuff we talk about. Like, we got a new person that's been pretending to be black for their whole career. A white professor. We're going to talk about her. I assume it's a her, and I assume she's going to be selling feet pics soon, like Dolezal. So we're going to talk about that. Also, it's raining worms in Beijing. What could go wrong? What's no big deal? It's either people from the iPhone factory or worms. Which is worse? We're going to talk about that later. We're going to talk about Sharon Stone losing custody of her kids for a very petty reason. According to her, lots and lots of stuff we do every single week that we only share with the people that contribute to our bonus content. Additionally, we every Friday night on the Stereo app, I host the Baller Lifestyle Podcast After Show with my dear friend, longtime friend, Dolomite D, where our other dear friend, Telly, showed up recently. And there may be another peace summit coming as those two appear to have an Israel-Palestine situation, but maybe we can make peace in the Middle East and in Colorado between our dear friends. I host that show every Friday, and I post that to our bonus feed. Then I also occasionally, pretty much every week, record a solo show where I just talk about stuff that's going on with me, and that is only shared via the Red Circle platform, so if you have the means and you would like to get all of that extra stuff that we do here every week, you can do so by clicking the link in the show notes, becoming a subscriber. I am joined now, as always, by Mr. Ed Daly. Ed, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. I have a correction, correction from last week, or an update. Yep. So we did the story about the Alabama fifth grade girls who didn't get a trophy or something. They won the tournament.
Yep.
I found out sexism wasn't in play as much as like a dumb tournament set up anyway. They allow all-star teams to participate, which this girls team was, and they give the trophy to the last remaining non-all-star team.
Oh. So they were. But at the same time, that's kind of dumb.
What kind of bullshit tournament? So if you're that eventual champion's first round opponent just by chance, you might be the second best team in the tournament.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, it's a flawed. Why would you allow all star teams?
Yeah.
That?
Why? Yeah. If you're gonna allow, I mean, it's not a them or us tournament. It's an everybody tournament. And if you're gonna allow other teams in the tournament, you got to let them win. Take, for instance, I remember I was probably in about sixth grade. Grew up in Costa Mesa, California. Everybody knows that. Costa Mesa, we had a little league in Costa Mesa, but most people didn't play it. Most people played in the rec league, Harbor Area, it was called. We played Harbor Area baseball.
Okay.
And then one season, I think I was in sixth grade. One season, they're like, hey, the because the Little League season finished up sooner. They're like, the one team from Costa Mesa Little League is just going to play in Harbor Area this year. And then they're like, you're playing them today. They're the Indians. And they had like better uniforms and shit because they were from from the Little League and ours were all shitty. And then I see the guys and I'm like, hey, those guys are all in eighth grade. I know those guys. I've seen those guys around. Those are fucking eighth graders. You got eighth graders in a sixth grade league. And everybody's like, yeah, I don't know, whatever. No, nobody wanted to deal with it. I had to play against kids. They were men. They allowed men to play in a boys league. And I got fucked over. Same idea.
Yeah, that's bullshit. Yep, that is bullshit. That's kind of like how my seventh grade team was forced to play in the eighth grade league. And they had a seventh grade league. And they're like, sorry, that's just the way we've always done it with this group. No. I'm like, and then I see the teams in the championship.
Yeah.
All eighth graders. My team would be in the seventh grade championship. Right. Yeah. I was like, I'd be a 40-point favorite against these teams. And my team finished like 2-5 or something.
Yeah. No, it's bullshit. There's a big age gap there. And if the girls won the tournament, let them win.
Give them the trophy. So the shit talking I was making about the state still stands.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, of course.
It wasn't sexism. It was idiocy.
Yes. I saw that the Oscars were last night, and I don't really know. I haven't seen any movies. I don't really pay attention. I don't know. But I saw that Everything All at Once was like the big winner. And I mean, I tried to watch that movie.
It's weird.
It hops around dimensions and I can't time hop unless we're talking Time Bandits, of course, or Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Back to the Future.
Or of course, Back to the Future. But they're hopping dimensions and I'm like, hey, that guy was doing one thing a minute ago and now he's doing a different thing. And somebody's like, yeah, that's a different, well, we're in a different dimension. And I'm like, out.
I was the perfect level of
stoned.
I was just in the right spot where I was like, oh, this is kind of out there. Yeah. Like, all right, whatever. So I was cool with it. Yeah. Hey, that's the kid from Goonies and Indiana Jones. Like, all right, cool. Yep. And it took me like three quarters of the movie to realize it was Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yep. Same. I'm like, she looks, I only watched 20 minutes, but I was like, she looks kind of familiar.
Cause she looked like a terrible version of her because she was supposed to look like that.
Right.
So, like, I was fine with it, but I maintain the best movie of last year was Triangle of Sadness, now on Hulu, everybody.
That's an
Eat the Rich movie. It's a great one.
I know. I was going to watch it this weekend, but oh, my God, draw my pen. I've update. Big news. I've switched off of the mechanical pencil, and now I've switched to a pen in my Moleskine notebook that I keep notes with. And
black ink, of course.
Of course. Much like I always drop the mechanical pencil, I just drop the pen. I wanted to watch that Triangle of Sadness, but by the time my girlfriend's like, hey, do you want to throw on that movie you're talking about? And I'm like, oh, it's like 9:30 right now. I'm like, I do want to watch it, but there's no way I can stay up. So I might have to push for this weekend because I do want to see it. One more thing about the Oscars that I saw today, and they do this all the time, and normally I don't give a shit, but they left Paul Sorvino out of the In Memoriam.
It's ridiculous.
How is that possible?
They left out a couple. I heard about, Sizemore, but maybe that's for people who died last year.
Yeah,
I don't know about
because he probably just died. And also, you know, it's like, it's problematic. Yeah.
And a woman that was in some big movies in the 90s, yes. Anne Heche.
Oh, Anne Heche was left out?
She was left out.
She was in Six Days, Seven Nights.
you owned it. You loved that movie so much. Donnie Brasco. She was in shit.
Yes, she's been in shit. She had an arc. She had like 3 years. Yeah, she had like 3 years when she was on top of shit. And then she fell into the clutches of Ellen. And Ellen's like, you don't work anymore. You service me. That's how it works around here.
And Paul Sorvino, like, had a big part in one of the great movies, a Scorsese movie.
Yeah.
And to bring it back to Triangle of Sadness, the female lead of that movie died last fall.
And she was
in. And it's one of the best picture nominees of that year. You would think you'd remember her.
Yeah. And she wasn't. And
like we said, when somebody attractive goes,
yeah, it's always much more sad.
It's really sad because she's quite attractive.
How'd she die?
So this is crazy.
No.
10 years earlier.
I know this story. We talked about this here.
She got in a car accident and had her spleen removed, and then she got some infection, and that's when you need your spleen.
Yeah.
So she had some weird infection, and she died. And this movie had already won at Cannes. It had won Best Picture at Cannes, but it hadn't come out in the theaters. So she was about to become famous.
Yeah.
Like famous outside of South Africa or wherever she's from.
That's horrible.
Horrible.
That is awful. Oh, by the way, Ed, happy birthday. It was 311.
311.
311 birthday.
Thank you. Thank you to all who celebrated with sending me gifts.
Yes. That's how you celebrate. It's the greatest day anybody could be born on. Of course, 311 day, which everyone loves, especially people.
The funny thing is there are really people who celebrate 311 day.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like there was stuff online. Somebody sent me a link of like there was like the 311 fan group was like has an annual
a meetup.
Yeah, it might even be in like a Zoom meetup. It was something horrible. Like really horrible.
I wonder. I mean maybe they recite it's so hard to know. It's hard to know what they get up to.
It was nice. For my birthday, I got invited to somebody else's, so I got to just eat and drink for free.
Oh, nice!
And the focus didn't have to be on me. It was great.
But was anybody saying like, "Hey, by the way, it's Ed's birthday over here"? Yeah. Like, oof.
Towards the end, the birthday boy himself was like, "Hey," and I got to point out to Ed. I was like, "No, this is what I wanted to not be celebrated."
Yeah, exactly. No, it's
they were very nice. It was at a restaurant that I probably would have chosen to go to for my birthday anyway. Like it's a nice Italian place in town. And so they're like, "Oh yeah, well you're invited to this Italian place. You'd probably go and eat and drink for free."
Yeah,
great.
No, that's nice. That is nice. That's a nice birthday. That sounds great. Yeah. Okay. Let's talk some sports.
Let's do it.
My name is Brian. They call me the other guy. I host a podcast show. I'll give hetero life a try. If you see something on my hand that makes you think I'm not a man, it's just my cool rings, you see. They're as sparkly as can be. My own joy on DVD.
Ed, what is happening in the world of sports?
We lost a few. First up, Bud Grant, legendary Coke for the four-time NFC champ Purple People Eater Vikings, 95 years old.
Nice long run for him.
Long run.
Yeah, that's back when, look, you look around the league today and see the coaches, and there's a bunch of like Brandons and Brendans and Kyles.
This is a good coach's name.
Yes, Bud. Here's a coach, Chuck.
Yeah.
Bud. Otis, like real dudes. I don't need a bunch of Brendans and Tristans,
Kyle,
and Ethan. Yes, none of those. Those aren't coaches' names. You're not a coach.
Bud Grant sounds like the most coach name of all.
Bud Grant, R.I.P.
He probably wore those bike shorts, the B-I-K-E, like gray tight shorts.
Of course he did. Of course, those were coaches' shorts. If you were going to be a coach, you had to go get some coaches' shorts. You couldn't just wear regular shorts. You needed shorts that were made out of baseball pant material for some reason.
Seemingly very uncomfortable.
They're real short, and they showed your nutsack to everybody.
RIP Otis Taylor. He was a Chiefs wide receiver, 80 years old.
RIP.
And RIP Felton Spencer, a Louisville basketball legend, NBA player with a bunch of teams. He was only 55. I believe, I might be wrong, but he was in the initial expansion. Like he was the Timberwolves' first draft pick or something like that.
Wow. Okay.
He's way too young to go.
Yeah, totally. Zach. Yeah, name sounds familiar. I'm sure I would recognize him if I saw a picture.
Speaking of people dying before their time, artificial turf potentially linked to cancer deaths of six Phillies players who played at Veterans Stadium. Oh, Darren Dalton, yeah, Doug McGraw.
Yeah, Tug. That doesn't surprise me at all.
David West, Ken Brett, Tug McGraw, Ken John Brett? Vukovic.
Oh, yeah. Great stash.
Johnny Oates, the manager.
Yeah.
Darren Dalton. They all developed and died from glioblastoma, a deadly cancer. And rare form of brain cancer.
So that makes a lot of sense.
It makes sense considering, like, it's a rare thing that six Phillies that played at the Vet.
Yeah. And they're out there in the middle of the summer in that fucking baking sun standing on chemicals.
Yep.
Oh, so, that's horrible.
That is awful.
Now, Dutch Dalton, is this is there some sort of tie-in to that being about his penis, Dutch? Because I don't know, like Tug McGraw, we don't know.
Right.
Yeah, you know, it's like they're all
maybe like he was into spit roast, so it was like a Dutch.
Oh,
like,
yes. Double Dutch. Yes, or maybe one time they were on the road in Pittsburgh and he didn't have a condom, so he used a wooden shoe. Never know. Yeah. Dutch. Yeah, that's really, I mean, I feel like there's a class action brewing here. And if I were Lenny Dykstra or Pete Incaviglia or one of those guys, I'd be getting a brain scan right now.
Now, you've seen the show Oz.
Of course.
You know how tough it can be inside the pokey.
Yeah, it's not for me.
And so, you know, these are humans. Yeah. Some of them have done heinous acts, but some of them are in there for bullshit.
Yeah.
And so we should treat them like humans,
right? Of course. That's right.
Well, 300 inmates at a maximum security prison were recently visited by Russell Wilson and Ciara, who then proceeded to sing and dance with the 300 inmates. My
God.
That's when I'd be like, hey, can you just throw me in the hole? Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm singing and dancing with Russell Wilson.
Haven't I been through enough? Like, why are you subject? This is cruel and unusual.
Yeah.
What is going on here? All I did
was steal a car. Come on.
Do you think Russell Wilson like went down the cell blocks and like was like, oh, hey, maybe.
Notice you weren't dancing out there.
Dude, warden, could I go in this cell and maybe counsel this guy just alone? One-on-one, man-to-man?
I want to connect with him better. I felt like his heart wasn't in it when we were doing YMCA together before.
Yeah. Everglades Correctional Institution in Florida. What?
I think the first scene of Out of Sight was they're breaking out of Glades.
Okay. I remember. Wilson, this gets worse, Ed, but besides the singing and dancing.
Uh-oh.
Wilson read the group a Bible verse.
You knew that was part of the video.
Yeah.
You knew it.
Oh, it is. God Behind Bars, the org that helped facilitate the trip, said it was all very powerful. Now, are we going to find out that he raised a bunch of money to go on this trip and then paid it to that guy that's also his houseboy? Because we've heard that before.
Right. The trip cost $19 million.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I'm worried now with ChatGPT so popular, if Russell Wilson's going to be...
He's got better speaking game now.
Yeah, he does. All of a sudden, his texts are going to be a lot better than, or his tweets are going to be a lot better than they were originally.
Now we're moving to the world of retired quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Vince Young averaged about $5,000 per week at the Cheesecake Factory.
A week?
And in one instance, dropped $15K on one trip.
I mean, 15 sticks at the fact? Like, how much shrimp pasta can one dude take down?
Yeah, the factory meatloaf? I'm pretty sure it costs like $16.
Yeah, I mean, how much? Okay, let's look.
Buddy.
I don't know if I have enough memory on my computer, but I'm just going to Google Cheesecake Factory.
That's going to slow down your computer. do you just want to download pages 1 through 63, or do you want the whole menu?
View our menu options. Okay, here we go. Let's just see, like, what's the most expensive thing on the menu? I mean, they must have, like, a steak or something here. Browse menu.
I I think for sure there's nothing more expensive than $50 there.
Yeah, I would say, yeah. Okay, let's see here. Oh my God, Ed. We got problems already. There's, let me just read you the menu subheadings. Okay, there's small plates and snacks. Okay. Appetizers, all right. Appetizer salads, fine. Salads, flatbread, pizzas, and lunch, okay. Specialties and pastas, we're getting somewhere, all right. Fish, seafood, and steaks. Glam burgers and sandwiches and Skinnylicious. I mean, that's...
I'm looking...
principally opposed to both of those sections.
Yeah. I'm looking the lettuce wraps with avocado. Yeah. It's like $17.04.
Yeah.
That's so far. The appetizer Louisiana chicken Caesar salad costs $19.60.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, $22.07 for the Louisiana chicken Caesar.
Yeah.
I'm still not, I've capped out at $20 items. The burger is like $14. Well,
I found a filet mignon, but it's got to know where I am before it's going to tell me how much it is. That's got to be the most expensive.
You know what it is? You know how they say like market pricing?
Yeah.
When you see a dumb quarterback coming through, you're like, oh, that'll be $6,000.
Yeah. okay. Steaks. Here we go.
Fettuccine Alfredo with shrimp, $25.
You know he orders that. That's such look. Okay. The filet is $39.50. This is, look, I'm going to say it. Cheesecake Factory, pretty affordable. Like, this is, they're not out of control with the pricing here.
This is where I would take Michelle in college.
Yes.
Like, for the nice night out when we weren't getting fast food.
I would go there right now.
What I remember, it was decent. Yeah. Like, it's not garbage food. It's not like a Denny's or something. This is like actually a decent food.
It's good. I can't remember having been there, but I know I have. Look, miso salmon, $27.
Oh, the cheesecakes. If you buy an entire cheesecake,
fuck. Yep.
The 10-inch Adams peanut butter cup fudge ripple, $57.23. That's where Vinny.
Yeah, he was hitting multiple cheesesteaks.
He got beefy.
He got pretty fat. Yeah, six.
Oh. And then remember his no-show job? You just had to like show every once in a while.
Six figures.
He couldn't do it.
Yeah, just to be like the mascot of the school. There's a $70. The 10-inch classic Basque cheesecake. $70. There's a few. Right. Yeah. He's getting a multiple to go cheesecakes when he leaves. That's what's going on.
Vince is like, all right, I'll take 10 of those.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to need, look, yes, I'm going to be back tomorrow, but I'm going to need some cheesecakes between now and tomorrow. You can't expect me to go 18 hours without any cheesecakes. give me a white chocolate raspberry truffle and a 10-inch mango key lime cheesecake for the car, please.
Yeah. Can I have the factory meatloaf and a magnum of Dom Perignon, please? Yeah,
exactly. Well, good for, look, it's weird. He ran out of money, I heard, and I don't know how, you know, he was only spending five sticks a week.
Right. Can you imagine what he did? I'm like, I think I told this story that I had a friend who, or a coworker whose brother worked for the Celtics when Antoine Walker was there.
Yeah.
And he said he one time was driving in a car with Antoine Walker, and Walker was like, look, I don't carry anything less than $100 bills in my wallet.
Yeah.
He's like, look, or maybe, he goes, 100, 100. He's flipping through and he goes, 50, what's that doing here? He rolls down the window and chucks the $50 bill out the window. You'd be surprised, but Antoine Walker, I think, also filed for bankruptcy at some point.
I think he was like the first $100 million contractor, one of them.
He spent, and then sometimes he just literally threw it away.
Like to have a good time.
A video shows ex-NBA star Sean Kemp opening fire in a parking lot.
Oh, no.
I'm not sure what the scenario was, but I saw the video.
Yeah.
And he does stand up and shoot at something. It's like broad daylight.
What?
Then he tries to like slink away, and it's like, buddy,
you're 6'10".
Another guy who ate his way.
Yeah, he's pretty big. Yeah.
Like, he's an enormous figure and very recognizable. You're like, that's Sean Kemp. Like, you can't, like, slink away when you're that big.
Do we know, could you tell in the video, was it an actual firearm or was he just peppering the crowd with sperm? Raining it down like rain. Oh my God, everyone, get under a tarp. The Rain Man is back and he's got a loaded magazine. And he's just blasting everybody with jism.
Hi, I'm Sean Kemp. And when I'm not impregnating women everywhere, I'm at my favorite rub and tug place in the Emerald City, Rain City Jacks.
Hey, if you don't want me shooting loads outside in a parking lot, meet me and my buddy Detlef Shrimp at our favorite men's masturbation club, Rain City Jacks. And remember, no lips below the hips. I wonder if, wait, let's check in our friends, Rain City Jack, see if they've got anything going on. Remember,
do you think Kurt with a C Warner is there?
maybe. Let's remember last time they were shutting it down because of the monkeypox epidemic.
For newer listeners.
Hell yeah.
Rain City Jacks is Seattle's premier establishment for men enjoying themselves.
That's right. There's some.
Are they back?
Yeah, I don't know.
Monkeypox dead.
Oh my God.
We got the vaccine. We're back.
There's one guy. He's like jerking it, and he's like up on a little platform. And there's a bunch of other dudes.
Okay, like, I gotta go incognito mode on this one.
I know. I forgot to do that. Men jacking off together in Seattle. What? Oh, there's it's like been blurbed, so to speak. What people have said.
Like a book jacket?
Yes. I love how there's no shame and how safe and edgy and fun and exciting it is all at the same time. I felt afraid at first, but I'm so glad now. It feels truly healthy and honoring of everyone involved. That's from Jeff.
Look at the ski polling, the third picture down. They are girthy.
The second one's even worse, where it's
fifth,
like,
no, the fifth one down is the worst. Right above the code of conduct, there's just two dudes.
Man. Oh,
it's a sword fight.
And this appears to be a lot of oil, fight. Yeah, involved.
Yikes.
The one that doesn't even have any dicks in it, where it's like a larger dude being embraced by two Asian gentlemen, and one is like pinching his nipple.
They're whispering secrets.
Too intimate. Well, let's see if they have another event coming up. How much? Okay, membership still $30 a year, or $5 for a 30-day trial membership plus $20 every time you go. Come to our next event. What kind of guys? All kinds of guys. Well, it's
that top picture is a blizzard's about to fall down on those guys below.
Yeah,
on the platform.
They look excited. Rain City Jacks holds events on an irregular schedule of between 3 and 5 events every month.
That's a lot.
That's quite a few jerk off sessions. Generally on alternating Sundays, the Lord's Day, at 1:30 p.m. and Tuesdays at 7 p.m. We like to give our volunteers a 3-week break around major holidays. Yeah, because they're sick of being cummed on by Sean Kemp. They're like, hey, I need a 3-week break. Okay, let's see here. Tuesday, March 21st, they're back. There's another Tuesday, March 28th. You're pretty good. Like, pretty much every Sunday and Tuesday, they're back.
I don't know my exact schedule, but Tuesday seems like an odd day to be.
It's kind of really 7 p.m.
Really
on Tuesday.
Getting after it.
Yeah. Oh, they're having an underwear party, which is kind of weird.
You know who that's for this Tuesday?
Yeah.
Hey, honey, I'm going to work late in the office tonight. I got a couple things I need to finish up before heading home.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly. Hey, hun, you seem freshly showered. Ah, yeah, hit the gym. Just hit the gym. Did some lifting. Now on the June 6th image here, there's clearly some lips below the hips, as we've told is not
okay. That's well, I I'm looking at the code of conduct.
Yeah.
Says no.
No lips below the hips. Yeah.
Let me find the rules again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe monkeypox. That was just a monkeypox rule.
Oh, could be. Jail only. No, like all. Back. Of course. See,
masturbation only. Yeah. Nothing goes inside anybody's anything.
Yeah. This is because they're purists, Ed. Like all true jack off clubs. Sexual activity is strictly limited to masturbation and mutual masturbation. Oral and anal sex are never permitted.
Ask first, say, may I, before touching another member's penis. Okay.
That's kind of takes the fun out of it.
Come verbally with words. Yeah. Get consent before coming on others. I think those guys in that first picture are consenting.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, number 12, Ed. This is like hanky code. Silicone wristbands are offered at all events as an option for any member to use if he chooses. A red wristband means don't touch my penis. A green wristband means anyone may touch my penis without asking first.
Hey, we got a lot of red ones here. When they're doing their monthly orders, do we need to order any red ones? Yeah. Oh, come on, we're full of red ones.
Too many red ones.
The red ones. No poppers. That's just a shocker. Well,
yeah, because they don't. You know, there's no penetration there. Oh,
never bring alcohol or drugs, and don't show up intoxicated.
Yeah. Ejaculation. Warn verbally before you ejaculate. Don't just breathe heavily. Say it out loud with words.
Chat quietly. Don't distract others with loud, unsexy talk. They want loud comers, but not loud talkers.
I like that. Ejaculate on yourself, the floor, or any canvas covered surface. Wow. Oh my God.
Do you think that everyone strips naked or to underwear, a jock or a t-shirt?
That's kind of gross.
Do you think there's any never nudes?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yes. Yeah. Just like the somebody, shorts. Somebody just got they're strapped in to just their shorts. No ingestion of semen is allowed. Okay. All right. Fair. Good to know. So anybody that's looking, Sean Kemp, Deadlift Shrimp, maybe the X-Man.
They just want to wear it. They don't want to taste it.
Maybe Steve Largent might meet you over there. You never know.
Dave Craig. A super loud horn at Cuba's World Baseball Classic opening game angered fans everywhere.
Of course it did.
Horn.
Yeah. Do we have tape of this? Oh, here it is. Yeah, let's hear this. Oh, No.
And he draws a leadoff walk.
How is that allowed?
Sounds like my next door neighbors. My first neighbors in Hoboken. They were very loud.
Yeah.
And they played a lot of loud music, and they had a loud barking dog.
No.
And it was really annoying.
Yeah.
But I was intimidated by them.
Sure. I get it. Yeah. You know, a loud horn honker is liable to do. You never know what they're up to, you know?
Yep.
This reminds me of the Vuvuzelas. Remember those?
Yes. The World Cup where they were buzzing. Yeah.
And the guy, the whistler the Vandy college baseball guy.
Yeah.
Horrible. Awful. Awful. You skipped a story.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Steve an important Ballmer.
Story. Yeah.
Steve Ballmer is excited. Yeah. Shocker.
Yeah.
He's bragging about the new Clippers arena will have three times the NBA average number of toilets and urinals.
I mean,
exciting times.
It is. Look, he's right. It is an important detail. I've been to many a sporting event where I've had to slip into the ladies and let it go because there's no one in the ladies and the men's line is down the street.
It is. But I don't know. The old Yankee Stadium was like, you're going to miss three innings if you have to piss.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I feel like most places I've been to, it's not too bad.
Yeah. The newer places, but now, I mean, Steve Ballmer's
three times anyone.
That's a lot. Let's hear him because he's special.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Oh, why can't I hear? Oh, I turned it down from the Venezuela guy. Let's try this again.
Toilets! 1,160 toilets in urinals! 3 times the NBA average number of toilets in urinals! We do not want people waiting in line.
He's coming. He's ejaculating.
Damn seats,
yeah.
At the end of the half, before the game, clocks!
He's fired up about toilets. He's
like if Howard Dean had a lot of money and on the Clippers.
He's a little pumped up. Look, he's off. He's got, you know, he's a little touched there, and that's probably why he's so rich. Good for him.
Apparently, like he was in the build up days of when Microsoft was just bullying everyone. Like he was the you know, Bill Gates is the nerd who with evil plans, and he was like the pit bull.
Oh, he was like the guy that would go out and get it done. He was like the fixer.
Yeah, he was the guy screaming in people's faces and intimidating. Yeah. Bill Gates was just the asshole behind the scenes.
I could see that. I could picture that 100%.
Tiger Woods, his ex-girlfriend wants the NDA nullified amid breakup.
Yeah, yeah. So apparently he told her she was going on a little trip and not like, you know, when your dog goes to live at a farm upstate, but he told, you know, he's like, hey, we're going on a vacation, pack a bag real quick. And my guy will meet you at the or take you to the airport. And then they took her to the airport. And then in the time that she was brought to the airport, they locked her out of the house, which is seems aggressive. And the thing is, Tiger Woods is so rich. Because Clooney used to do this back in the day where he'd go, hey, sweetheart, he goes, our time is done here. We had a nice run. I'm going to shoot a movie. I'll be back in about a month. Here's a check with a bunch of zeros for you and take your time, but go ahead and get your things together and be gone by May 6th when I return.
Fair.
Fair. And also, they knew that going in. They knew that this was not going to be a forever relationship. It's going to be a partial relationship. Now, Tiger Woods, he's too cheap to just write a check to make him go away. So instead, he gets embarrassed publicly.
It's a bad look.
It's a bad look. And he bought this chick a new face. She looked one way. She was the manager of his restaurant. She had one face. And then she became known as Tiger Woods' girlfriend, immediately got a new face. So he must have thought she was going to be there for a while. Just make
I gotta look at
make her whole.
Girlfriend. What's her name?
Erica Herman.
Erica Herman.
Herman.
New face.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
She does look different.
Yeah. He upgraded her, and then he sent her away. Hey, it's okay. Things don't work out. But if you're a public person and you don't want to be embarrassed publicly, you're not going to notice a missing $500,000, you cheap fuck. Write a check, make this girl whole, get her a fucking apartment, and move on.
Yeah, he has much more money than George Clooney.
Yes.
You know,
he's also a notoriously bad tipper. He thinks everybody's trying to get over on him. Oh, I'm not going to let him get over on me.
And he lives like a sloppy existence for somebody who should be above it.
I know. He had that fucked up tooth.
Yeah, for a long time.
Gray tooth. He had that gray tooth. He's rich as hell. He's got $1 billion. Can't get that tooth fixed.
Come on.
I know. It's crazy. And look, and he's boning the hostess from Perkins at a church parking lot. And he mistakenly leaves the sanitary napkin behind, you know, it's like, buddy, you gotta just like be smarter. And that's the thing. His dad, Earl Woods, taught him how to be a good golfer, but that's all he taught him. He didn't know how to teach him how to be human.
He didn't teach him how to respect women.
Exactly.
You know that.
That's for sure. Hey, Tiger, I'm going to need you to hit about 108 irons right here. I'm going to be back in the Winnebago over here with Trixie, okay? We're having a few drinks, so don't...
Just keep hitting.
Yeah, just keep hitting balls.
If this van's rocking...
Yeah, that's right.
Keep hitting balls. That's what I have.
I'm going to put my sock on the doorknob. You know what that means.
If this van's a rocking, try to hit the pin from 150 yards out. A high school athlete says she was retaliated against after wearing a sports bra to cross country practice. And she's in Texas, and she was like, yeah, half the dudes are shirtless when they're running in practice. I'm wearing a sports bra.
Now, Ed, I'm confused because I was told Texas had freedoms. And but
no. Yeah, this is a woman.
Oh, OK. Because I was going to say, I heard they had freedoms unless those freedoms included smoking a joint in your living room, getting a zygote vacuumed out of your uterus, or doing anything that might make a man hard. Yeah. Because you don't have the freedoms to do that.
It's bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
It's what you run in. It's a sports bra. Like, it's hot as fuck. Go for a run. Oh. She's also black. A teenage runner in Texas is accusing her high school of gender discrimination after she was reprimanded for wearing a sports bra to cross country practice. Oh my God, drop my pen. Student who has remained anonymous says she was retaliated after she brought up how she couldn't wear a sports bra even though male athletes practice shirtless. In the letter, the ACLU says GH is the only black member of the Springwoods High School girls cross country and track team. Told her she had to wear shirts. Yeah, just let her run. It's a tank top. A sports bra is a tank top.
It is.
It's a tank top.
I'm sure at least a handful of the boys on that team were like, we should let her
run. Let her run. Let her run. Let him live. Let her live. Who cares?
I didn't realize the her skin color. That also hurts the freedoms.
It tracks,
Marriott. Well, this is kind of an update of a story we discussed around the Super Bowl. Marriott released the details of what happened between Michael Irvin and the Phoenix hotel employee before this year's Super Bowl. Because he said, I just shook her hand and that was it.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, several witnesses, according to this accusation, several witnesses as well. The intoxicated Irvin shook her hand, told her she was attractive, and asked if she knew anything about having, quote, a big black man inside of her. The playmaker. He swings for the fences.
He does. I mean,
can you imagine, like, a handshake? Like, just, hi, how are you? Would you like a big black man inside of you?
Well, whoa. We've all known
right to the triple dog there.
Yes,
right there.
He did. We've all known this guy. Michael Irvin is a 1 in 1,000 guy. Every woman he meets, he drops the have
it's
you ever
found to work one of these times.
It does work. It has worked before, which is why he keeps doing
he
it.
Fucks. That's why he keeps getting in trouble.
He fucks a lot. He spray paints his hair on. He's going to be, he's apparently is jobless or will be jobless. But the reason he dropped the have you ever had a big black man inside of you before line is because that has been effective for him at least 1 out of every 1,000 times.
You know, when there's like a crazy rule, you're like, what's the point of this rule? Yeah. It's because something that crazy thing has happened and they realize they have to, like, you're standing by you're at the San Diego Zoo and they're like, please do not try to shoot a firework inside the lion's ass. And they're like, what the fuck is this? Yes. They're like,
R.I.P. Harambe, by the way, our guy.
Oh,
very sad
guy.
Well, I'm
every day.
You know, I feel very sorry. I mean, I don't, but hopefully, you know, cooler heads prevail.
I always hated the Cowboys.
Sure.
But I actually thought he was decent when he was talking about football. But, you know, the out of the studio stuff seems like could be a problem.
Also, wasn't the last play of his career? Didn't he get tezzed?
I believe against the Eagles.
Yeah.
Who also got tested?
Was it Dirty Waters?
Troy Aikman.
Oh, yes.
Troy Aikman. Yeah. LeVar Arrington. Yes. Just night termite on his
and
career.
Wilbur Marshall. Yes.
Yeah.
He took a few. Remember, he was the first guy that started wearing that that thicker, the like heavy chin duty chin strap, because Wilbur Marshall, back when you could do this, put the crown of his helmet directly through Troy Aikman's chin.
Yeah. And he's still like employed, but yes, he feels like he's not quite right.
That's true. I mean, he's pretty innocuous. I don't mind Troy Aikman.
I don't hate him. Like, he's not an awful, but like you feel like maybe he's, some things close. Are not like, not everything's firing upstairs.
It's not, he's no Bradshaw, but he's, I could see it. I'm always
Bradshaw. Bradshaw is like beyond a cartoon at this point.
He's so bad. No.
Did we even talk about how after the Super Bowl, he's like, hey, Andy Reid.
Yeah, we did.
How do you like being such a fat piece of shit? You're what?
Let's get the, get the cheeseburger out of your mouth, you fat fuck. Come over here and talk to me. I'm like, dude, you're on TV. Shit. Like,
it's what is going on?
Give this guy a break. I mean, he's a rotund man, but we don't, we don't just say that in front of everybody. Jeez.
Might have missed a few, talks with his sons, but let's not crush his weight.
That it does kind of always like, it's, I get, that's, we all can't be responsible for our, adult children's actions.
Right.
But when he's doing a State Farm commercial, I'm like, wow, it's kind of off putting knowing that his kid is, doing 3 years for vehicular manslaughter, and I don't know. It just like puts me off a little bit. Yeah. Okay, let's do some voicemails.
He's so easy to hate. Your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great. He's such a stupid fuck. He seems down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one's enjoying him. He's so annoying. Plus so fucking boring and worthless. But he's got nothing else to do. And he's even worse than ish. His faults are shit.
There was just before the show, I was getting all the equipment ready here and I'd been running around and I was like kind of in a rush, and the computer that I used to play all the sound and the voicemails and everything had died on me. So, and it wasn't starting. So I did the thing that I think everybody does when you're trying to revive a machine. I started pounding all the keys with my fists and like running like my hand across all the keys and pushing every button real hard. And eventually it came back on. So we saved, I mean, I could have played them from my phone, but we saved the voicemail section. I'm sure everybody's happy about that. Here we go.
Hey, Brian and Ed, it's Dave in Salt Lake. What's going on?
Dave in Salt Lake.
Hey, I was just listening to the newest episode on Red Circle.
That's right.
Of course, I'm a Red Circle. Who wouldn't be a Red Circle subscriber for the content that we get for such a small amount of money?
That's right.
And just to weigh in one more time, because it's important, because I want to know if this is appropriate or not. Airport bathrooms, which I'm now having to use, which sucks. Yesterday was the most bizarre day I've ever seen at the airport, and I'm going to tell you why. There was a picture, Foghorn Leghorn, as a human being. Okay.
What?
In a full
Bobby Bowden
airport restroom at the urinal. And he's there with a cowboy hat on, about as tall as you would think.
Yeah.
And starts to take a piss and then says, shake a leg, get some. And he shakes his leg and starts farting twice. Shake a leg, get some. And he farts.
No.
Is that ever appropriate? Now, I didn't say a word because I was laughing too hard, and so was somebody else. But is that appropriate to be at an airport urinal, taking a leak, and fart with people next to you, dressed like Foghorn Leghorn?
Why are you
saying? Doesn't matter how you're dressed. Yeah. And say, shake a leg, get some, and rip a few farts twice while you're pissing with other men around.
Stop.
Is that appropriate?
That
I don't think so. I had to weigh in. one last time on this airport bathroom controversy, not controversy, discussion, because after I was done laughing, this guy was totally serious. He thought that was funny at 70, at least 70-some years old.
Wow.
All right, guys, take care. You're the best. Brian, you know, I was just joking last week. I know where the ball is. I saw World Headquarters.
That's right. That's right.
Take care. See you.
That's right.
I feel so sad for David that he now has to share a bathroom with these animals.
I know. Yes.
This is where you gotta bring this to your union and be like, we gotta do something.
Yeah.
I can't be sharing with animals like this, dude.
As an employee of the airline, I assume that the see something, say something rule is still in effect, and you should do what you can to get this person on the no-fly list.
Yeah, that's true. He shouldn't even be in an airport.
Because imagine being locked in the fuselage with this maniac.
Oh, my God.
But imagine you got the middle seat. You scheduled at the last minute to go to a funeral, and you got to squeeze in next to this guy in his cowboy hat and his ass. You know what happens when you get in the air? The pressure starts to go to work on you. Maybe he didn't get it all out when he was pissing next to David, and then he's sitting next to you in the seat. This man should not be allowed on a plane.
Awful.
There's another one.
Hey guys, Super Lee here. Just calling to say, A, very excited about the bracket challenge or draft challenge you guys have going on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Two, I wanted to throw a little love to David, a part of Bud Grant, who he won't laugh anymore. He probably won't fuck anymore. Amazing coach with the Vikings, although both are in Super Bowls. But more so, an amazing Golden Gopher. You know, we are the Golden Gopher podcast of record.
That's right.
So, really good shout out to him, who was a multi-sport star, football, baseball, and basketball.
Much like Dave Winfield.
Really amazing, amazing guy. Secondly, Ed, hope you had a happy birthday on 311 day. really excited to see a potential second round matchup between your Maryland Terps, which should be the baller lifestyle team of the tournament, I think.
Oh, no. We support the Bruins.
Here. And Alabama, where, you know, as always, come down to how Alabama is shooting. And they've been highly proficient this year.
Yeah.
So that's it, guys. Fuck Wisconsin. Fuck Danger Russ. Fuck J.J. Watt. And you know what? Fuck Snow. I really am getting tired of this shit.
Yeah, fuck
Snow. Love you guys. Take care.
Fuck Bye. Snow. Fuck Snow. Bye. And Super Lee, sorry, I kind of stepped on your joke there. I didn't see it coming. Love you, though. Okay, here's one more.
Yo, B. Darbo.
Darbo.
What up, Ed?
What up, Ed?
Hey, are you guys familiar with this thing Dolomite D does on Fridays?
Oh, no.
Does a little follow Friday thing. He's been doing it for, I think as long as I've been on Twitter.
Years.
And he tags a bunch of people.
Yep.
I've always been first, guys.
Always.
And recently, Dolomite has decided to kind of mess with the order. And last week, he put me last.
Yeah.
Last. Yep. And Brian, you know, I do not like to be last.
No.
Like, for example, driving this distance. Weekend, we did a little golf draft thing. And I mean, I wasn't last.
Yeah, no, you won. You won it.
Just throwing it out there, I would hate for this to be like a Telly Two-Putt situation where Dolomite gets blocked. And
I got to put up some sort of piece.
Amount of money for him to get unblocked. Secondly, it's daylight savings time here in California and other states. I'm not really sure which ones.
Oh, I can tell you. It's all of them except for Arizona, Hawaii, right? And I believe a portion of the state of Indiana does not change their clock. Sometimes it's Eastern also, time, sometimes it's Central.
North Korea has like different times altogether.
They do? Even though they're all...
I think they're like on the half hour.
They're on
like
the... Stop.
Yeah, it's like everything's off there.
Oh, nice. I want to go. I want to check it out. I won't. Steal a proper
That worked out
poster.
Well for the UVA student.
Otto Warm Beer?
Yeah.
All right, Pete.
Have daylight savings and which ones don't. So what are you going to do with your little extra time a day? One more walks.
Yeah.
Ed, what are you going to do? I don't know if New York has daylight savings or not. So anyways, enjoy it. Nice to be lighter later.
Yeah, I do like that. Darbo, you might have to block Dolomite. Now, Dolomite, he's run into some issues before. He's been blocked by friend of the show, Telly Two-Putts. And he's also, I believe, been blocked by other friend of the show, Jay Thousand Steps. Darbo might be next. I mean, it's, look, this guy, he likes to engage
He also has been saying he's going to call into this show with the State of the Baller Lifestyle podcast message. Haven't heard him yet, so he might be blocked by me. Could be all sorts of blockings going on. I don't know.
Wow. Yeah. I'm trying to mend
these. I know. That's true.
Relationships. We're,
that's true.
You're threatening.
I know. Yeah, well, look.
You're going with the stick instead of the carrot.
I got a hard line over here. Okay. Thank you for that, Darbo. You get the hour of light in the evening, but you lose the hour of sleep in the morning.
It was pretty dark this morning.
Yeah. Not ideal. Not so ideal good at all. Okay. Couple of emails. Ballers. I was just wondering if Brian felt more comfortable understanding what is happening in the news recently with collapsing banks, since Ed did such a good job detailing the entire plot of It's a Wonderful Life for him. And that seems to be the only frame of reference the news media has to explain the situation. It definitely makes me feel better about the economy and our citizens' understanding of it, that a nearly 80-year-old movie is still the best explainer we have for what's going on. That is from Andy and Indy. Well, yeah, absolutely.
It's pretty crazy that you see a movie like that and they're like, well, this is the 40s. They were portraying the 30s at the time, or they were portraying the 20s in that movie. But yeah, you're thinking, oh, it's a simple time. And like, yeah. It was another run on the bank because,
and it didn't have the money it said it had,
because it was just loaning money to every bullshit VC bro.
Yeah.
And these VC bros, and then it becomes a situation like we had too big to fail again. Yes. It's like, well, this will fuck our whole economy, which kind of makes me think, maybe this economy is not,
it's bullshit,
not so stable.
Yeah. What's propping it up? Of course, immediately the government runs in and says, oh, we'll make all these fucking rich assholes whole because we can't, this bank can't fail because it could cause the whole economy to collapse, which the government will do when a bank fails. The government will come in and rescue a bank. But if you need to put fucking insulin in your veins to live, you are fucked. Yeah. Go fuck yourself. Yeah. Get the fuck out of here. Go to Canada.
Yep.
That's the country.
Yeah, it's fucking bullshit. These VC bros can all go fuck themselves.
Socialism for the rich, rugged individualism for the poor.
Right. They smugly were like, hey, learn to code if you can't get a journalism job anymore. Yeah, and it's like, hey, I need help.
Yeah. ChatGPT. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. From Katie Shady. Roller derby is not only for lesbians, but for fat girls who also do burlesque. Well, okay. Fair.
Okay, noted.
Important. Hey, Brian and Ed. First time, long time, all that good stuff. I am only 40 minutes into episode 463, but as someone born in 1994 who grew up on Pokemon, I had to fill you boomers in on the Pocket Monsters. Not the cards, but the porn.
What?
Not sure if you're familiar with Rule 34. If it exists, there's porn of it. But you are absolutely right about people wanting to fuck Pokemon. In 2021, there were 303,000 results on Pornhub when searching the word Pokemon, which pretty gross, as most of the characters are A, human children, or B, those human children's pets. Then he sends along a link. This is from an article on the subject. There is one in particular called Strokeymon, which includes the names of real Pokemon characters that sound dirty.
Back on incognito mode to look at this one.
These are the real names. Wait, the names that sound dirty, like Squirtle. There's a Pokemon called Squirtle, and along with some made up names like Fisty, Gash, and Dickachu. I mean, Dickachu is kind of good. No. However, this kind of porn is not only available on the sites you would be afraid for anyone to find in your browser history. You can also find them like places on places like DeviantArt and Tumblr, where artists have drawn pictures of characters with their tops and skirts lifted. Of course, now that furries have risen to popularity, the human characters are not the only ones having sex. There are plenty of scandalous pictures of the actual Pokemon doing inappropriate things to other Pokemon or with their trainers.
I'm going to have nightmares. The link I clicked, it was definitely the pet having sex. No.
Do not send it to me. What'd you type in Pokemon porn?
I think I did Strokemon, took me down a really bad path.
No. Okay, I'm going to go incognito here. Let me just
incognito on that one.
I'm going to go Strokemon. Actually, you did Strokemon. I'll do Dickachu. Dick.
I think you're going to get a similar result.
Chew.
It's
Holy shit.
Just when you think humanity is kind of at a low point, and then you'd see that and you're like, it can get worse.
It looks like, so this one, she kind of looks like that X-Man that's a woman that's blue, and it's like Jennifer Lawrence, but much more terrible. It looks like a cross.
This looks like the heroin version of that.
Yes. It looks like a cross between the blue, except it's yellow. It's a yellow version of the blue X-Man.
Strokemon got me to that same way. I saw that.
But she also kind of looks like a chupacabra. Yes. Which is, I mean, this is terrible. Nobody wants, somebody wants to fuck this.
303,000 people last year.
Oh my God. People have tattoos of Dickachu. Now, Dickachu is like a drawing of whatever, like the Pokemon except its nose is a dick and balls. So it's got a dick nose and condoms on its ears. This is heavy. There's a Strokemon. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, you can buy a Dickachu action figure that's just the dong. Oh my God. This is unfortunate. Now I got to finish this email. No thank you to whoever shared this information.
Oh my God.
Oh, he changes gears here. Also, if Patrick Mahomes continues to make his way into the GOAT conversation with Brady, it's time to consider off-field actions. Pat's biggest infractions are being related to Jackson, choosing that unbearable woman and sounding like Kermit the Frog. I know two of those aren't his fault, but I'm still judging. On the other hand, Tom Brady owns a pseudoscience health company. Let Antonio Brown live in his house. Cuck situation, perhaps? And makes out with his teenage sons.
True. On video.
So ballers. Just based on those circumstances, who is the less worse of the two? Whoever you choose gets my GOAT vote. If this email sucks, feel free not to read it. Thanks. That is from Drew in Phoenix. Now, thank you for that,
Drew. It was a good email. Very disturbing. Took some turns. Here's the thing. You could say that it's not his fault. The Kermit the Frog thing.
Yeah,
it's not his fault. Yeah. But it absolutely is his fault that his brother is around because he invites him to all kinds of shit.
That's right. He's on the field. Brings him down the field. He gets
access to things.
Yeah, he does. Same with Brittany Mahomes.
Right.
Who he
wants. Pouring champagne on the fans below.
Yes, no, no. Still, though, I agree with you. On the other hand, the other guy is Tom Brady.
Oh, without question.
He's worse.
Tom Brady's worse.
Yeah.
With his dumb Uggs ads. Yes. He's the worst in every way.
Yes. That stupid fucking look on his face, empty stare.
The bullshit miracle water that he's hocking.
Yes. Never tasted a strawberry.
Yeah. He's a garbage person.
Fucking guy didn't have a strawberry his whole life? Come on.
Yeah.
Worst. Okay, thank you for that, Drew. Let's do some non-sports.
It's time.
Well, it's time for Non-Sports segment on the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Non-Sports. I'm talking about the segment now. Non-Sports segment.
Ed, what has happened in the world of things that are not sports?
We lost some non-sports people.
Yeah.
First up, Chaim Topol, the Fiddler on the Roof actor, 87 years old. He was looking at it in the picture. He was Swedish? Was he Episcopalian?
He might have been a Jewish guy. I don't know.
He might have been. I don't know.
I don't know why. Well, I mean, this, we were so starved for entertainment in the
in
childhood.
You answered yourself. That's why.
Like there was a show called MASH that was about the Korean War and one guy dressed up like a lady, and it was like they were doing surgeries on people the whole time, and it was supposed to be funny. And there was
a laugh track, but there was nothing funny going on. Yeah, they're like, yes. I'm afraid this Korean soldier is going to die. And they'd be like, whoa!
Yes. And everybody was trying to do sex to Hot Lips for some reason. Yeah. And it was the most popular TV show that had ever existed forever, for a long time.
It was a bad show.
So also, I can remember like seeing the Fiddler on the Roof movie when I was like probably seven.
And yeah, I remember. If I was a rich man, was like the big number.
Yes. And it was like, it was kind of like the Hamilton of its time. Like people were fucking fired up about Fiddler on the Roof. And he's like a chimney sweep or something. I don't know. He's on the roof.
Yeah.
What I'm going to say though, is that guy was 87 now.
Right.
I mean, all right.
Fiddler on the Roof had to be 50, 60 years ago.
Yes. I thought he was 65 then.
Yeah.
Nice long run for him. But also, why were we subjected to that?
Something else that I remember seeing on like Channel 11.
Yeah.
The movies of this guy, R.I.P. Burt I. Gordon, the B-movie auteur, 100 years old. He made like those giant ant attacking movies and like that shit from the 50s.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Classic.
I just remember. Yeah. Yeah. Like it would be peppered in with Godzilla movies and that kind of shit.
Yeah. We had that. We had the a local show hosted by Elvira, the mistress of the dark. Yeah. She would show movies like that. That was another thing where they were. Actually, this was kind of good. A form of entertainment was having somebody host a show that just played a movie. And they're like, hey, I'm Elvira. And here's my big old set. And now here's a movie. And that was just it. And then she'd come back and she'd be like, all right, the movie's still playing. Now I'm laying on my side and look at my big old set again. And then keep watching the movie. And it's like, oh, okay. Like that was just a different form of entertainment back then.
Yeah, there was somebody like that on Channel 11. And then eventually she, I think, went to USA Network. And
So
she became a national thing.
That's right. That's absolutely true. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that was definitely a thing. Somebody introducing and then like around commercial breaks would then talk more about it.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. In and out. Yeah. On the commercial breaks. Here's a little bit more of the movie and my titties. And then they just keep on playing.
R.I.P. Joseph Zuccaro, a founder of Chicago's Mr. Beef and the inspiration for the TV show The Bear, 69 years old.
Now,
have you seen that movie? That show?
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah,
I mean, liked it.
Yeah, I liked it too. I mean, it's okay. Like, it's good. It's not like everyone's acting like it's like the reinvention of a, you know, it's like the best show. It's pretty good. The guy's 5'3", and he's a cook, and he cooks in like $350 t-shirts. And he's got and his cousin's there for some reason. And you think his cousin's an asshole, but you think he's like skimming or something. Right. And you're like, okay, where's the big reveal on the cousin? And it just turns out his cousin was kind of an asshole. And for some reason, they call each other cousin a lot.
Yeah.
Which is kind of off-putting, but it's fine. No, I'm fine.
I like the show. Yeah. It was my favorite show of all time, but I liked it.
It kind of made me wish I worked in a kitchen. It does glamorize the kitchen life.
Yeah. It does make you want to eat one of those beef sandwiches.
Oh, yeah, totally. No, I would definitely, if I lived in whatever neighborhood in Chicago this is, I would be going to the Bear whenever they're serving up that pasta or those beef sandwiches.
Or if they're handing out,
Yeah.
Cans of
tomato sauce.
Tomatoes.
Tomato sauce. Yeah.
Somebody left this earth. I won't give him the RIP treatment. Robert Blake, Beretta, and Bonnie Lee Bakley's killer, 89 years old.
Allegedly. Wait, he was acquitted, Ed. He was
acquitted.
No. He was acquitted of that murder.
He's dead. He's not going to sue us. He killed her. He definitely, yeah, he definitely did. Because she was a con artist.
He did. Yeah. Let's look her up because let's get this right. She was a grifter. And look, being a grifter is not a reason you get to be murdered. That's not, you're not allowed to murder grifters.
Death sentence for robbing someone.
Yes,
no.
Yes. But. Yes. But she got his ass. She would place ads in the back of like porno mags to for companionship or something. And then guys would call her and then she would somehow get them. She would, what's the word for it? Like what Jeffrey Epstein would do? She would compromise them so that so that they had to pay her. Oh my God. Hold on. Bonnie Lee Bakley. Born June
B-O-N-N-Y, right?
Yeah, B-O-N-N-Y. Born June 7th, 1956 in Morristown, New Jersey, Ed.
Oh, that's like 45 minutes from there.
Yeah.
They had a kid?
Yeah, that's how she compromised him with the kid.
Wow.
Then I forgot about that she died May 4th, 2001, Vitello's Restaurant in Studio City.
She
great linguine with clams.
Maybe Robert Blake had a feeling September 11th was going to happen.
Yeah.
So he's like,
he knew him.
Let me, she gets to exit the world without having to see this horrible moment.
Do you think, you know, cause he said he couldn't have murdered her because he was inside getting his gun that he forgot in the booth, which is one of the all time great alibis.
Whoa. I forgot about this.
Yeah.
One of her kids.
Yeah.
Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah.
Spelled J-E-R-I.
Well,
Lee Lewis.
Yes. Yeah.
Fathered by
Jerry Lee Lewis.
She claims.
Right. Yeah. Well, she died age 44. She died May 4th, 2001. Homicide by gunshot wound. Now, Ed, there's also a list of spouses here. Evangelos Palakis, Paul Gowron, Robert Moon, DeMart C. Besley, Joseph Brookshire, William Weber, E. Robert Tellefson, Glenn H. Wolfe, John Ray, Robert Blake. Bonnie Lee Bakley. Oh,
Glenn Wolfe was also known as Scotty Wolfe, was an American Baptist minister.
Oh, yeah.
In Blythe, California.
Blythe, California. That's a real shithole.
Whoa. Click on his Wikipedia page. Look at his marriages.
Holy shit. Oh my God, there's like a dozen. There's two dozen.
He was married. I'm going to count this.
Yeah. Lived in ripe old age of 88. Bonnie Lee. Oh, there's a list. 31. He was married 31 times. Yeah.
31.
Oh, his marriage to Bonnie Lee was annulled. Okay, let's get so she was born in Morristown, blah, blah, blah. Celebrity obsession. Oh, yeah. Oh, in an effort to support herself, Bakley began a mail order business sending nude pictures of women, including herself, to men. She also ran Lonely Hearts. Oh my God, she was married to her first cousin. She also ran Lonely Hearts ads in magazines.
Well, that wasn't a problem for Jerry Lee Lewis.
Maybe that's how she got the name. In magazines advertising for a male companion. After communicating with the men who answered her ads, she would ask for money for rent and travel expenses. Bakley's business and scams eventually afforded her enough money to buy several houses in Memphis, Tennessee, and one house outside Los Angeles. She pursued a Hollywood career as a singer and actor under the stage name Lee Bonnie. Due to the nature of Bakley's mail order business and other dealings, she was arrested several times. In 1989, she was arrested in Memphis, blah, blah, blah. Bakley had a history of pursuing celebrities with her friends and relatives, describing her as celebrity obsessed. Yeah.
She when Marlon Brando's son went to the pokey for manslaughter, yes. Christian Brangham,
yes,
and had a relationship with him, and then thought she was knocked up by him, but it was somebody else.
Yeah, in 1990, Bakley began pursuing singer Jerry Lee Lewis. Bakley eventually did meet Lewis and became close friends with Lewis's sister. In 1993, she claimed the daughter she gave birth to, Jerry Lee, was Lewis's child. However, DNA tests later disproved that. Bakley decided to relocate to California, blah, blah, blah. Oh, left the kid.
How about Blake's excuse? He's like, oh, I couldn't have killed her. I was headed back into the restaurant to get my gun.
Yeah, I left my gun in the booth at Vitello's. Well, it's airtight, Ed. Couldn't have done it. Also, no, what do they call that? Powder burns on his hands.
Man, couldn't have had gloves.
While Bakley was involved with Christian Brando, she dated actor Robert Blake, who she met at a jazz club in 1999. After the birth of daughter Christian Shannon Brando, Bakley told Blake that she was unsure of the child's paternity and that he might be the father of the child. Blake insisted on a paternity test, which later determined that he, not Brando, was the father of Bakley's youngest child. After paternity was established, the child's name was legally changed to Rose Lenore Sophia Blake.
How about the fact that she named her kid Jerry Lee Lewis and another one Christian Brando?
It's great. It's great. So, now, I will say this about Robert Blake. Again, you can't murder somebody that grifted you into having a child. That's wrong. That's wrong to do.
Right.
But I will say Robert Blake was also a little rascal.
Yes.
And who knows what unspeakable horrors those children were subjected to.
Oh my God.
Back in that time. I can only imagine.
Maybe Alfalfa was the lucky one because he got out quick.
Yes, for sure. Because Spanky and, of course, Buckwheat couldn't speak. And so if you can't speak, like, they can do some stuff to you because you can't tell. And Robert Blake, I mean, shit was going on. It is interesting that he just died right now at age 89, which
means... when that trial was going on. What?
I thought he was like 78 at the time. Unbelievable.
Okay, well, Beretta.
Yeah.
Gone. R.I.P. 89 years old.
Yes.
A body was found in a Pennsylvania creek. It turned out to be a realistic sex doll. There were some people reporting.
Hey, fam. There's still a lot more of this episode to hear, but it's only available to our bonus content subscribers. Click the link in the show notes or go to theballerlifestyle.com and subscribe so you never miss a minute of the show.
Broadcasting weekly, that's what we do, with Easy Ed Daily and a man Jay Stew and Brian Beckner, quick to dissect the week in sports and culture and whatever. Talking loud, comers, conundrums, my brothers, reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star, even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot, man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man, it really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is so flawless. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is for all us.